Good morning, everyone. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No other name but the precious name. My topic, before I tell you the title of my topic, 1 year ago I had an illness where there's spasm, pain in my neck. It took weeks for me to get over it. And it happened Friday. Friday night, I look at my phone to call Brother Wilson to ask for backup. And then I said, let me see what tomorrow may bring. With God, all things are possible. For me, this is a miracle. I've not been healed fully, but the great recovery that I've made to be standing here is like a miracle. I couldn't have turned my neck. This is a miracle. It is my privilege, it's a honor for me to be here to share with you the word of God. And if that illness had prevented me, I would be really devastated. I'm always honored to be here. And I believe that the Lord has something for each and every one of us here, especially if there's someone here or on Zoom that have not accepted the Lord as a personal savior. I believe that something is going to happen today. Something good is going to happen. The topic that I would like to share with you is our identity in Christ. Our identity in Christ. By identity, I mean who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. For many Christians today have, but they do not realize what they have. And so they do not enjoy the full benefits of being a child of God. Or their lives not as powerful as it should be because they don't realize what they have. A young lion just born in the world, he doesn't know how to kill. If you watch documentary, then they just have to learn until they realize their power and the strength that they have to conquer. When they realize that, then they are fearless, powerful. I would like us to take our Bibles and turn to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. The New King James Version. I love that version. First John 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Key verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. May God bless this portion to our hearts for his name's sake. Our gracious God and most righteous eternal Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have not hidden anything from us. You have revealed to us all that we should know in your word. We pray, oh God, that we'll fully realize all that we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. And most of all this morning, we pray that even at least one soul be won for your kingdom. We give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, 1 John was written by the Apostle John, one of Jesus' 12 original disciples between AD 85 and 90. So at the time, many believers were conforming to the world standards, failing to stand up for Christ and compromising their faith. There were false teachers were plentiful, and they were accelerating the downward slide from the faith of the church or the Christian faith. So the Epistle of John was sent as a pastoral letter to no particular church, but to several Gentile congregations, to put believers back on track and to assure them that they possess eternal life. So identity number one is that we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. What does eternal mean? Because many Christians or people in Christendom today are confused about their salvation, and they believe in this save and loss concept. But our life in Jesus Christ is eternal, permanent, never ending. How can you have eternal life and then it comes to an end? You never had it. You've never had it in the beginning. That's what eternal means. Eternal life is of God. You cannot lose it. You got it forever and ever. Let's look into that. We don't need a lot of Bible verses to search to back up this. Just look simply at the meaning of eternal. So the Apostle John stated that God himself has testified that he has given us eternal life in Jesus Christ. And this assurance is given to us so that we may know, I'm emphasizing, may know. And by knowing, we are enabled to enjoy all the benefits of being a child of God. And that's why we can sing, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washing his blood." This is my story. We all have a story. We all have a story in Christ Jesus. A powerful story that we have eternal life, never-ending life. So the Apostle John sent out this epistle, and it was sent to several Gentile congregations. Notice the Apostle John, but we know that Paul was the apostle who was sent to the Gentiles. And that's why I've mentioned that it was written AD 85 to 90. That time, Paul was very like out of the scene. John is an older apostle. But through the Spirit, you would have none of this backsliding, this fall from the Christian faith. So God always provides. So our second identity in Christ, our identity number two, is that we are forgiven and our sins taken away. We need to look at the meaning of taken away. It is out of our way. We have nothing. It has nothing to do with us anymore. All because of Jesus Christ, whom we are in. Ephesians 1:7. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Redemption. What redemption? It says the forgiveness of sins, or freedom from sins. And we can only achieve this because of Christ Jesus. Even though we sin, because of Christ, we have been freed from the penalty of sin. So redemption is the forgiveness of sins, freedom from sin. Notice the word riches, according to the riches of his grace. Riches, infinite abundance. That's riches, infinite abundance. It's immeasurable. You cannot count it. You cannot measure it. So other words for riches mean boundless, unbounded, limitless, immeasurable, immense, unfathomable, endless. Notice that our sins are countable. And that's why we can say, although we had so many, many sins, Jesus washed them all away. Many sins mean they're countable. But notice grace. We do not say many grace, or we say much, much grace. Grace is much more abounded. So our salvation, our forgiveness is secure. So God the Father purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave all our sins, not some. If we weren't forgiven all our sins, we would all be lost. Because some Christians believe that they can live out of their flesh. Let me put it that way. As long as we are in the flesh itself is sinful. And that's why it's not going up there. It's going down. Those who are born of God, it's an inward thing that takes place. It's a spiritual birth, not of the flesh. So the flesh ain't going anywhere. So Christ's death pointed to wonderful truth in this verse: redemption and forgiveness. Redemption, according to the Old Testament, in Leviticus 25, verse 47 and 54, was the price paid for the freedom for a slave. That was in the Old Testament. But now, through Jesus' death, the price was paid to release us from slavery to sin. So you see, there's a difference. Christ's death makes a difference. Forgiveness was granted in the Old Testament times on the basis of the shedding of animals' blood. Now, we are forgiven on the basis of the shedding of Jesus' blood. There's a big difference. He died as the perfect and final sacrifice. Colossians 2, verse 14. Having wiped out, I'm emphasizing some words and phrases as we go along. Having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Just emphasizing those phrases drives home the meaning of this verse. Wiped out, it's canceled. It's canceled. And that's why we have hope. And that's why we don't have to live in wavering faith or assurance. We can gather with confidence and with great anticipation of our Lord's return. So the handwriting of the requirements, that's the record of our charges that was against us and which was contrary or opposing to us. That's out of the way. That was nailed to the cross. So the work of the cross is complete, meaning there is nothing else to be done. And it's irreversible, meaning that it cannot be undone. It's already done. So the record that was canceled against or contained in the legal documents of the Old Testament law, that was the record. It was canceled. All right, and it deals with the legal demands of the Old Testament law. So the law oppose us by its demands for payment of sin. We know that rigorous procedures that they used to perform, with killing of animals, slaughtering, it's just a bloody situation, messy situation each time. So that was contrary. We could not keep up with that. And so Christ came and fulfilled the law. Although no one could be saved by keeping that record, the moral truths and principles in the Old Testament still teach and guide us today. We are forgiven and our sins taken away. Another verse, Romans 8, verse 1. Brother Purcell's favorite verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, to those who belong to Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. No condemnation. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and was condemned. For the wages of sin is death. So we were all condemned. But thanks be to God, he has declared us who are in Christ Jesus not guilty and has offered freedom from sin because of his forgiveness. So there is therefore now no condemnation. So my sinner friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior, you're in a life of condemnation. Jesus Christ has paid the price for sin. And all you need to do is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal savior. Move from condemnation to blessings. Identity number three. And by the way, our identity in Christ Jesus, this message that I am delivering is part one. It's so long. So I put it in part because I cannot finish everything today. So it's part one. So in the will of the Lord, I'll do part two and probably part three. It's so much. Who we are in Christ Jesus is so much. And what we have. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what sealing is? Do you seal a product before it goes through the processing? No. It's the final product that is sealed. So sealing speaks of finality. Ephesians 1, verse 13 is the verse. One of the verses. In him, you also trusted after you heard. Faith comes by hearing. The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed faith, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In whom, after you have spoken in tongues, you were sealed. Is that what it said? In whom, after you run across the building from corner to corner, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Is that what it said? In whom, when you have moved up your body like that, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Is that what it said? Having believed. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. Amen. It is as that. It's just to surrender. Let go and let God have his way with your life. So it says in him, you. Who was it speaking to you? The Gentiles. Gentiles. In him, you Gentiles, after you have trusted and heard the word of God, or the good news of God that saved you, and when you believe in Christ, he identifies us as his own by giving us the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. So the Holy Spirit is not just, it was planned. It was promised long ago. It's not a mistake. The Holy Spirit within us is a guarantee that we belong to God. The Holy Spirit is a guarantee of our inheritance in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the mark of the believer and eternal security. According to Ephesians 4 and verse 30, he sees our salvation until we experience it, its completion in the presence of God. And that's why we say a time is coming when faith will give way to sight. Faith gives way to sight. Just before Christ's arrest, he promises disciples in St. John 14, verse 17, that he would send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. He would send the Holy Spirit who will dwell with you. It didn't stop there. And also in you. Dwell with you and will be in you. How do you know you have this spirit? It's by faith. It's by faith. And what's the manifestation of this spirit? Galatians 22, 5 verse 22 and 23. The fruit of the spirit. Someone can see the fruit of the spirit in you. You know you have the Holy Spirit by faith, because God promises true. But someone can see the manifestation of the spirit in you. By the fruits, you shall know them. Can you discern if someone is in the Lord? You discern from the word of God. And it's by the fruit. What's the fruit of the spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the spirit. So the fruit of the spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit in us. And what word comes to our mind when we hear that? Sanctification, the ongoing process. We are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit produces these character traits that are found in the nature of Christ. And Christ's presence in us is the hope of glory. Christ's presence in us is the hope of glory. So we are partakers of Christ's divine nature and more than conquerors over our fault. We'll move on to identity number 4. We are new persons. When I say that, that reminded me of the first message I gave. Remember the new wine of Christ's salvation. So identity number 4, we are new persons in Christ. There is no perfect example that we can use to demonstrate this or to demonstrate the Trinity, the triune God. There's no perfect example. But I'll just try to give an example of a raw product and a final product. It's not a perfect example. We cannot use earthly things as perfect example to explain who God is. So just look at milk. It's been pasteurized. They kill the harmful germs, the bacteria, and it goes through a processing, and you have cheese, final product. And then they may package the cheese and they may seal it, seal package. But the sinful man comes to Christ for forgiveness. What happened to him? He is cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's justified by faith. He's going through the process. Sanctified and sealed by the Holy Spirit. So the cheese is packaged, and that person is baptized or placed into the body of Christ. The church, the body of Christ. So that baptism into the body of Christ is done by the Holy Spirit. So we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, a brand new person. So 2 Corinthians 5 verse 15 and 17. He died for all, that those who live, that's those who receive new life, should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. He rose from the dead for our justification, so we can live a life through sanctification. So the power of sin has been destroyed. Sin made us dirty, and Christ cleaned us up and owns us. And because Christ died for us, we also are dead to our old life. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun. If anyone in Christ is a new creation, all things have passed, and behold, all things have become new. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become new because he's born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Christians are brand new people on the inside. You don't go about looking on the outside much. Even though we must dress modestly, we must dress as becometh saint. But the inside, that's where we are brand new. Everything that was connected to our whole life has disappeared, and all things are fresh and brand new. As a new person, the Spirit himself, according to Romans 8, verse 16, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So, we are not reformed nor re-educated. We are recreated, living in vital union with Christ. At conversion, we do not merely turn over a new leaf. We begin a new life under a new master. And I will stop at this last one, identity number 5. We are made complete in Christ. We are made complete in Christ. We do not need to go about searching for ourselves, running from church building to church building, running all over here and there. We are complete in Christ. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells, that is in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So all of God was in Christ's human body. He's God in bodily form. Hence, the God-man. The God-man. Christ is the head over every ruler and authority throughout the universe. And he reigns supreme. So we are in Christ Jesus. We who are in Christ Jesus are persuaded that no principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing shall separate us. Who we are in Christ Jesus, we are sealed. We are complete. Nothing lacking. Nothing broken. Nothing lost. Nothing missing. We are whole in Christ. Our acceptance with Christ is secured because we are complete in him. God, Jesus Christ, is completely God. And that's why we can become, we are complete in him. Note well that our failure and shortcomings do not change our completeness in Christ. Completeness or wholeness is given to us permanently because we accepted Christ, who is completely God. The things that were wrong in our lives before ended as soon as we put on Christ. That is, when we exercise our faith in him and trust in the work of salvation accomplished on the cross. In the world today, many people are searching for something to give their life a boost. Look around. What a strange and often hard to identify vacuum gives most people an uneasy sense of incompleteness. Christ fills that vacuum when you become a Christian. Christ fills that vacuum when you become a Christian. So to my unsaved friends, I'll just stop at identity number 5. There are many, many more. But aren't you feeling jealous that you are not a part of the family of God? Look at what we have and who we are in Christ Jesus. And not just feeling jealous, but to realize that you are living in a life of condemnation and you need salvation. You need your problems to be solved. Christ came to solve the problem. Sin is the disease that burdens us when we are out of Christ. But thank God that Jesus Christ, long before even the foundation of this world, God had a plan for us to make us great in him. And that's why we can sing the song, "Something Beautiful, Something Good. All my confusion he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful out of my life." May God bless you all in Jesus' name.